Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 274. You can't tell a video game by its trailer.
Fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another episode of our weekly podcast. How you doing? Did you have a good week? Did you have fun? Are you in the spirit of the season?
Do you have to yell?
I do. I do have to yell. And you want to know why? Because one of these things is not like the other. One of these things is not hungover. Can you guess which one?
It rhymes with... Nah.
Delicious.
No, the one that is hungover rhymes with Master Delicious.
The one that is hungover is not Ninja Sista. See, that's your clue. That's your clue.
That's the spoiler.
Whoops. Spoilerlicious.
Spoiler Sista is more like it.
Spoiler Sista. Ooh. No, that just...
When you spoil stuff, you're Spoiler Sista. And when I spoil thing, I'm Spoilicious. Spoilicious. Mm. Those are our evil counterparts.
Sure, why not? We have some fun stuff to talk about this week. We have some stuff that'll probably spark a lot of conversation. It's mostly speculative stuff this week. Because we already told you twice now what to buy for the holiday season. So it's really on you whether or not you picked it up or anything. And we'll be anxiously awaiting our Christmas gifts. I'm sorry, Christmahana Kwanzaa-kus.
Festivus.
That's what the us is at the end of Christmahana Kwanzaa-kus.
Just say Festivus. I think that's more inclusive.
Festivus is not more inclusive because Festivus is only celebrated by certain people.
Nerd people.
Mostly. But
We're only talking to nerd people right here.
No. We reach more than just nerd people.
I doubt that.
We do. Yeah, I know for a fact.
Who else do we reach?
We reach moms of nerdy people.
They're also slightly nerdish.
No,
they have nerd genes.
No. They merely had the trait and passed it on to their children. You can have a trait and not actually develop the characteristic.
That's true. Never mind.
Just saying. Just putting that out there in the world. I know. You poor little thing.
Oh, God.
You should just be glad that we don't do sound effects.
Yeah.
Because right now it'd be wah, wah, wah.
I know.
Fandalicious.
I suck at drinking.
You do. Yeah, I mean, like, this is really your second bout of real suckitude when it comes to drinking. Although your first one was really epic.
I mean, I didn't black out, but I mean,
This time.
This time.
Anyway, let's move right along, shall we?
Yeah.
Get back to the topic
at
hand. We've got some speculative stuff. Obviously, the VGAs, people are still talking about it. We're actually getting around to it because we were off last week because I was sick. But I am feeling much better, as you all can hear. Yay! So much better. And thank you, everyone, for all your comments on Facebook and questions about what the hell was going on with me. You're awesome, and I love you, and all that good stuff. I'm doing much better, so thank you. But we have some stuff that we want to, talk about, because obviously, whenever you have an award show, everyone has opinions about the winners and the losers and who should have won and things like that. But you haven't heard our opinions, so we're going to share them with you this week. We're also going to be talking about a trailer that finally was played for the first time during the VGAs, The Last of Us. The rest of us got to see it.
Rest of us got to see it, but the last of us, being me, finally saw it.
Yes.
And I've got some thoughts about that.
And we also have some stuff on the Scribblenauts remix that's available for iOS. So actually talking about some mobile gaming this week that's not on a Nintendo device. Surprise!
What?
Yeah. So we've got a packed full episode. I'm actually going to jump it off with the Scribblenauts stuff, mostly because I like going first. Not gonna lie.
I don't care.
It's a privilege.
Don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I had been playing Scribblenauts on my DS for a while. It was one of the games that I rented from Gamefly and took forever to send back because I really didn't want to send back. But at the same time, I didn't really want to cough up the $27 to buy it. So I just played it, like, a lot until I got tired of it and sent it back. And after I sent it back, I really kind of kicked myself for it and went, you know, I probably should have just gone ahead and purchased it because I really enjoyed it. So if you're not familiar, Scribblenauts is a very inventive game. And basically you have a lead character, and what you're supposed to do is help that character solve puzzles by crafting in the world the objects that he'll need to progress through the level. So, for instance, you have to collect this star at the end of your level, and you may have a path that you're traveling down. It's a side scroller, so it's not like you can go back or have depth, but there may be a piece of the world that's missing, and so you have to figure out how you're going to traverse this open space. As an example, let's say that there's a tree. So if you could just cut down the tree, it could become a bridge that you could walk across. In order to cut the tree down, you have to create some kind of mechanic to help your character cut the tree down.
Like an axe.
Exactly. And so you type in what element you want to create in the world. It creates it, and then you drop it either where it's supposed to go or give it to your character to use. So if you create, for instance, an axe, then you hand it to your character, and he goes over to the tree and chops the tree down, and then you can direct him to go across. Or you could create a giant beaver. Beavers eat wood, so the beaver will go over to the tree and actually gnaw on the tree and knock it over, and then you can progress.
Or you can summon Cthulhu and end the game.
You could summon Cthulhu and end the game. It's a little bit of overkill, but you can do that.
I understand your method, but the execution was
poor.
Poor.
And so it's really not only about problem solving, but also using some creativity, because you can use proper nouns, but you can't use copyrighted names. So I couldn't create a, you know, Coca-Cola axe. It won't do that. I can't create, you know, a giant vampire Donald Duck to get through a level, but you could create a giant vampire duck. I'm not exactly sure what you would use a giant vampire duck to get across, but you could. And so it becomes a battle of not only solving the puzzle, but how creative can I be? And I find that I challenge myself in finding a creative way as opposed to just a bland way of getting across. So I'll look at something and go, okay, I know that I could just create a motorboat to get across the water.
Or wings and put them on the back of your character and have him fly over it.
But wouldn't it be better if I just created a Pegasus and flew my Pegasus across the water? You know, so I challenge my own creativity. And it's great for memory, and it also is very good for critical thinking, which is why it's a great game for kids. And I thought that's probably the biggest reason why it was so successful on the DS. Well, Scribblenauts has now actually come to iOS, which is really interesting. And on iOS, you have Remix. And Remix adds some additional levels, and it adds some additional characteristics. For instance, it is a universal app on iOS, so that means that you can get Remix and play it on both your iPhone and your iPad. So you don't have to buy separate versions for each, which is really cool. So that way you can keep your games going and progress different ways. But on iOS for your phone, you can actually speak the elements, not necessarily type them, using the hardware that's on the iPhone 4S. So that way you can actually progress on a level and say that you want to build a hungry rainbow beaver.
What's with you and beavers?
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on that. I use that a lot to chop down wood.
Just beavers.
Yeah, beavers.
You know,
they're hungry beavers.
You know, termites eat wood too.
You know, and I could use termites, but I
rainbow coalition of termites.
I could. Giant rainbow termites. Get the job done. I haven't used the voice piece on my iPhone just because I haven't updated my version of the game yet, but you do get to do the rotation, so you can actually flip it portrait or landscape, which allows you to see more of the level. So sometimes you do actually have to traverse up or down in a level to finish completing it. And I like being able to change the landscape, so I can see that. That was one thing that was very, very clear on the DS, because you had the double screen, so you could see when the level was above you. But on iOS for the initial release, that you really had to shrink the world in order to see if there was anything above you that you should be paying attention to. So now that you can actually do it by just the rotation piece is really nice and comfortable. I just have a lot of fun playing this game. And, you know, to be honest, I've really been very happy with the last three games that I've gotten and I've really delved into from the Warner Brothers troupe. You know, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City were fun as hell. And, you know, to have Scribblenauts again and now on a device that I really carry around with me more and do gaming on more when I travel is really cool, because I've got Scribblenauts back and for a really ridiculously reasonable price. So originally Remix was $2.99. They've actually dropped the price for the holidays. So you can pick Scribblenauts Remix up for 99 cents. So it's a buck app. I think there's like something like 40 levels when you break them all down and all the puzzles and things like that. Just a lot of fun. And I gotta say, it's just really adorable. It I think, is a game that is simple enough that you can hand to your kids and they can have a lot of fun with. And again, it's good for their critical thinking. But it's also a game that's just childish enough and just complex enough, if you sit and really think about it, for adults to enjoy as well. So I really, really love it. I highly recommend it. Like I said, for the holidays, it's only a buck. I don't know when that price is going to go back up, but for a universal app that you can play both on your iPad and on your iOS device, that's pretty kick-ass. You can check out the website at ScribbleKnotsRemix.com, or you can hit them up on their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ScribbleKnotsVideoGame. Absolutely adorable. I love the lead character, Maxwell. He's so cute. And the puzzle solving really, at times, can be very complex. Like, there are puzzles that I've spent probably about 15 minutes going all the way through to solve, and then replaying and figuring out if I could solve them a different way faster.
Right.
To beat my own score. The graphics very much remind me of a Yoshi's Island back in the Super Nintendo
days. Love Yoshi. Wait, Yoshi's Island or Yoshi's Story?
Yoshi's Island.
Okay.
So I highly recommend it. Absolutely love it. Get it. And if you do, let me know what you think about it. But I absolutely, absolutely adore Scribblenauts. Yay! So that's my first piece. What do you have for the people, Pandalicious?
I've got
Wakey up, drink your wakey up juice.
So you're going to talk about games, so I'm going to go and talk about a game. And I guess we really shouldn't be too surprised I was going to bring this up, because one, I love Naughty Dog, and two, I love zombies.
Wait, who doesn't love Naughty Dog? Anybody in this room?
People who are competing to be better than Naughty Dog.
No,
and they secretly love Naughty Dog.
They love Naughty Dog. Like, when I grow up, I'm going to be like Naughty Dog, and then I'm going to be better than you to show you how much I really appreciate you.
It's like, when you take the grasshopper from its hand, you are the master.
When you take the pebble from the hand,
no,
you
are the master. Grass. Because the grasshopper's faster than a rock. In my world, it's a grasshopper.
There's a pebble in his hand.
Snatch. Oh, I took it.
And he has to snatch the pebble.
Yeah, I'll snatch
it. And then he says, young grasshopper. That's what he calls
it. Whatever. Whatever.
You know what?
You are now praying mantis. You have evolved into...
Did you grasshopper evolves into praying mantis.
Not human centipede.
Not human centipede.
Anyway.
Oh my god. Never again will I watch that. Ever in life.
I watched that and number two.
Why? Why? Why did you do that to yourself?
I don't know.
You did it to yourself.
And I'm glad human centipede was shot in black and white.
And nobody told you to do that.
Nope. It's like, hey, I said, hey, fire's hot, really? Ow! I have now learned my lesson that fire is hot.
I'm pretty sure Human Centipede 2 is actually not in black and white.
No, actually, there are segments of it that are in black and white.
Why do you know this?
Because I watched it.
Two?
Two. Yes.
Why did you do that to yourself twice?
I'm a sadomasochist.
Obviously.
But yeah.
Anyway, video games, ew.
So yes. So, Naughty Dog, awesome stuff. So, Uncharted 3, though apparently some people weren't very happy with Uncharted
3.
Why? I don't know, a lot of people were like, meh.
Why?
I don't know.
Are they just not happy in their own home lives?
Probably not. But anyways,
because
now,
Uncharted 3 was so much fun.
I enjoyed it.
But
that's not what I'm talking about.
All right, what are you not talking about?
But I mean, they, you know.
Are you sure you're not talking
about?
Yes. All right, okay.
So Naughty Dog finished. The Uncharted story. It's done as far as we know, unless they're going to go and do prequel stuff, which they may later on. But they're moving forward away from that for a little while.
Okay, good. Because if they scare me again with, you know. Alright.
There are some people who haven't played it yet and are going to get it for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Christmas. Alright, let me shut up. I'm just saying.
But they're moving beyond Uncharted 3, and they finally released the trailer that they showed everybody at the VGAs for Last of Us. Or The Last of Us.
Last of Us.
And believe it or not, I felt like when I saw this trailer, and I mean, everyone was like, oh my god, this trailer is so awesome, I can't wait for this game. But we have been duped.
What?
We have been duped.
Pendelicious, you say we've been duped?
We have been
duped.
We've
been hoodwinked? We've been led astray? Bamboozled, if you would?
Slightly. To the left. Because this is the same trailer mechanic that we have seen when Dead Island, you know, from Deep Silver released.
What do you mean the same trailer?
Because if you look at the way that the trailer for Dead Island was, it was all action. We got to see. Atmosphere. We got an atmosphere in that trailer.
Okay.
And
all
we saw no
game there.
And we got no gameplay. But everyone was like, oh my god, what a good trailer. Oh my god, we need to make a movie of this. Get on it. And everyone's built up on the hype of the trailer. And then people who really sat back and said, wait a minute. I still don't know how the game is going to work. They didn't show us how it was going to work. Granted, then when I got some exposure of it at E3, I thought it seemed a little bogged down, but then when I played it, it was really good. But I still, you know, that trailer didn't necessarily happen in the game unless you went looking for it, because actually there is a room at the beginning during the tutorial that you can go into the room, and that father is there, and the window's broken, and the axe is on the floor. But those are like little hidden Easter eggs. And I felt like the trailer for The Last of Us kind of did the same thing. So they gave us an atmosphere, they gave us a mood, and they showed us characters that may or may not be the main characters that will play. But we don't know what kind of game it is. We don't know if it's like an action survival.
Isn't that the definition of a teaser trailer?
I'm just saying.
And I'm just saying.
I mean, hopefully, I hope to see another trailer with actual gameplay, because from the look of it.
Of course you will. It's Naughty Dog.
So, I mean, from the look of it, like, I mean, if you look at the main character, and let me get to my page so you can see
that. That you know that we kind of sort of think is the main character, or according to you?
Well, I think the way that the story looks like in the trailer, you only see these two. They're survivors, but they're most likely not the only survivors, because then the whole story would just be about them killing and living and fighting off whatever the enemy threat is.
How would that be a problem? If you're saying that it's, you know, a Naughty Dog game, and if you're saying that, you know, they're using their engine.
Which I feel like they're going to.
Okay, well, the engine that they're used to is an action, you know, type game. You have Nathan Drake, and at times you have a support character. So how would that be a problem if it's just these two, and they're surviving, and it is The Last of Us, and it just happens to be...
Because then in that case, I'd feel like it was the Army of Two. Like I would.
So?
Not that I haven't
done. The game Army of Two, or just...
I feel like it was an army... Alright, so it's just us killing animals and fighting the enemy threat, which at first I thought were zombies, but reading further on, it's some type of plague that has now decimated humankind. So the humans that are, you know, still around, they're not really human now. They have, like, these spory things on their face, and they pretty much attack anything that's not like them. And you do actually see some of them in this teaser trailer. So, I mean, interesting, but I want to kind of see what this is going to be like. Like, I feel like this is just Uncharted 3 minus the treasure and with, you know, spore monsters. Which isn't bad, but...
I'm trying to find, like, the sucky thing.
I just don't like... that was my issue with the Dead Island trailer, is that they showed us this really great scene, and they duped me, because I didn't even think about, okay, what kind of game is it? What am I expecting to happen? And I mean, they...
How is that a dupe? They weren't like, here's this thing, and you're not gonna get it.
Well, see, I thought you were actually going to play the father that we saw kill his daughter in that trailer, and obviously that didn't happen.
It's a teaser! It's just to basically get your palate wet. See, this is one of my pet peeves in games, okay? Because this is when I start thinking that people are either taking themselves too seriously, taking the genre too seriously, okay, or taking the art form too seriously. Naughty Dog's been working on this game in private, basically. They've been trying for at least the last year, as far as we know, on the development, to make sure that no morsels of this thing got out before they were ready to actually let the world know what happened. Okay? Then they give you a teaser trailer going, here's a quick look at this thing that we've been working on that's not Uncharted 3. Go ahead, salivate. We're not going to tell you much more about it right this minute, but we're going to give you some background, and oh, by the way, here's what it's going to look like, just so that you have an idea of what's coming. You have an idea. We're not going to lay it out just yet, because if they told you it's a first-person shooter and blah, 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 then all the haterade would start, and everyone would start making...
The haterade's already started, dude, even with this trailer.
I know, but at least it's all speculative at this point, because you don't know. We're not sitting there going, okay, it's a first-person shooter, and you play this person, and you're trying to keep this person safe, and da-da-da-da-da, so that people go, oh, Naughty Dog's just making an Uncharted game that has people with spore faces and doesn't have treasure. Fap. Nobody wants that, because then the hype leading up for your year...
Did you just fap?
I just said made the noise fap. I don't fap because I don't have the mechanic, you know, needed to fap.
But you said fap.
That's because in my mind, people who throw haterade, that's pretty much what they do. Like,
they throw it like they fap. Haterade.
Exactly.
That's disgusting.
No, that's why I'm like, haters suck. Because in my mind, that's what I see. But... For me, I have a completely different take. I thought that the teaser trailer was actually a really good teaser trailer because it sets up, like you said, an atmosphere, but doesn't define it. So that I have to sit there and I think, okay, well, is it going to be a survival horror game?
Well, actually, on the Naughty Dog thing about it, it's got elements of survival and action in it.
Yeah, you know, and so then I try to figure out, okay, so is it going to be centered around just these two people? Is it going to kind of be like a Dead Island thing where you run into other people and you run into, you know, new things that you have to do and escort missions that will give you new things. Obviously, from the trailer, you know, it's made clear that ammunition is something that's not readily available, so am I going to have to do some stealthy-type things at times?
Most
because,
likely.
You know, and so now I'm trying to piece together what the game could be, but really, Naughty Dog is going to take their time over the next year to give me more morsels, to give me better looks. I will more than assuredly get a look at gameplay, and then I'll be able to go, okay, so the teaser told me this, the gameplay tells me this, and right then and there, I'm going to know whether or not I'm going to buy into this game or not. That's how marketing works. If I tell you right up front, a year before the game is coming out, exactly what the game is going to be, you make your mind up then and there that you don't want any piece of it. Now I've got all these people who are working, and I'm spending money, and I'm going to have a game that's not going to sell shit.
But might sell shit.
No, might not even sell shit. I mean, hell, Assassin's Creed. They've been milking this mechanic forever, and they've been marketing it beautifully. Okay, we didn't really know what Revelations was going to be until a month before the fucking game actually came out.
Well, that's not true. We kind of guessed it.
We knew that
but we didn't know.
No, we knew that we were going to get to figure out, we hoped, how Desmond and Ezio and Altair really all tied together. But we didn't know that that was going to happen or not. We didn't know that it was going to be set mostly in Constantinople.
Istanbul.
Stop it. Okay, until we actually got in the game. We didn't know that bomb crafting was going to be, like, a really big piece of the game.
So you better learn how to do
okay. it. Okay. In E3, it was just like, yeah, you can craft bombs. It'll be kind of cool. You know, you can make your own and you can find stuff and, you know, build new bombs and all that kind of stuff. No, bomb crafting is, like, very important.
You better learn.
It is, like, very, very necessary.
Better get your terrorist skills ready.
So you, like, seriously, people, if you see some phosphorus, don't just leave it out there. You need to take the phosphorus. Because you're going to need to make some sticky bombs.
Some bombs.
Sticky bombs, people.
I don't know.
A long way. You know, so I don't think it's fair to say that you feel duped or that the trailer feels duped. Because to me, dupe says that there's malice behind it. that they're trying to show you one thing, but they know they're going to deliver something else, and you're not going to like it.
Oh, no, I'm probably going to like it.
And so that, so I react very heavily in yeah, and defensively
yeah.
on the Duke. I think it's more fair to say that the trailer is very vague.
Yes.
But it's vague by design.
It's evasive and elusive, and it knows you're going to have all these questions, and it's not going to give you the answers.
Yeah, but that's not duping, because duping's like, you know, bait and switch. I'm going to show you a chicken, but there's no chocobos in this game. That's duped.
You didn't say chocobos. You said chicken.
Well, I'm going to show you a chocobo.
And now there's no chocobos. On the upper road,
but there's no chocobos in this game. You can't even buy a chocobo, tchotchke for your character. No chocobos in all this right. game. That's
chicken and chocobos are two different things.
I don't know. You fry them up. They taste the same. Just saying.
You don't eat chocobos? You cruel, sensitive zunt.
Have you never had a chocolate chocobo?
You're dipping them in chocolate?
You can buy chocolate chocobos on the internet.
I'm not talking to you.
Why? They're delicious. You know what? Fine, don't talk to me. It's going to be a really short podcast.
Yep. I can't believe you're eating chocobos.
Chocolate chocobos.
How about I eat chocolate ninjas? They're tasty in chocolate.
You can buy chocolate ninjas?
Yeah, and I can eat them. I bite their heads off. How do you like that? You like that? Do you like that? Do you like that? Do you like that?
I do. I like chocolate ninjas.
You can put them in your mouth?
Put them all in my mouth. You know what? Screw you, Peppa. Anyway... Personally, I am very interested in what The Last of Us is going to be. I'm hoping that it only has elements of survival and the whole thing's not a survival thing because, as you well know, I don't do survival
horrors. So this is what's going to happen. When this game releases, we're both going to buy copies.
No, we're not both going to buy copies.
Because I'm going
to
buy copies.
Leading up to the game, if it turns out that it's a Dead Island more than it's an Uncharted 3, you'll be buying it and I'll just watch. I like to watch.
Ew, that's gross.
I like to watch people play survival horrors. I don't like to play them myself.
They have not mentioned any element of horror. It's survival action.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Obviously, they're going
to
be elements.
I'm so excited to see. And you know what's even more exciting for me? Is at least there's something to see. Unlike Last Guardian. Yeah, I said it. Go ahead. What else you got for the people, Panda?
Well, no, just... I don't know. There's some speculation. Like if you saw the trailer, and you're looking at these two characters that we do get. Obviously, we do get a experienced person who's used to surviving, and then a noob, fresh noob. And I don't know about you, but that chick kind of reminds me of Ellen Page.
Actually, here's the thing: the chick in the game, the young girl, the first time I saw it, she reminded me of Ellen Feist, who was the chick from the Apple commercials back in the day. Who looked like she was, like, super high.
Yeah.
I was writing paper on the PC, and it was like, bleep, 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 bleep. And then, like, half of my paper was gone. And I was like, It devoured my paper. It was really good paper. And then I had to write it again, and I had to do it fast, so it wasn't as good. It's kind of a bummer. I'm Ellen Feist, and I'm a student.
Yeah, that's who she reminded me of.
Oh, God.
Especially in the Ringer t-shirt.
I don't know, but then other people...
But then she whipped out the knife, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. She's experienced some shit.
Well, yeah, she's had to survive. Like, we don't know how long this world's been the way that it is.
I know.
We don't know. So she's had to grow up a lot faster than normal, you know, teenage girls would happen.
Isn't she narrating the video?
I think she is, for part of it anyway. But it's like, we just live one day at a time. We hunt, and we survive. But,
That shit's deep.
Yeah, well, of course. She's probably, like, what, 14? Probably hasn't kissed a boy, and the only guy that she's seen is, like, a dad type, which means, you know, experimentation in the dark, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But, she kind of reminds me of Ellen Page.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my, you know, zombie aficionados, and people think that she looks like a young Zoe from Left 4 Dead, which is also kind of funny, in a way, because she kind of does. If you look at her. So I'm like,
But
anyway, I doubt they're going to try to tie it in that way. But, I mean, it is interesting. But I would have liked to at least have an idea. But granted, they couldn't show a scene with someone climbing, you know, one of these characters climbing up a building. Because then people were like, oh, Uncharted element. Maybe, I guess. I don't know. I just want to see more, and I want to see more now, and I don't want to fucking wait. Because I'm fucking impatient. Like, I want to know.
Well, those are all your character flaws, not Naughty Dog's. Yeah, go ahead. Sip your wake-up juice. The truth, it burns! It burns!
Burp.
But just a little bit.
But yeah. So, if you haven't seen the trailer, you can obviously go to the Naughty Dog site and take a peek at it.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that we include a link to it on the post for this podcast on our website, so you'll be able to check it out there.
Yep. And
and maybe our community manager will even put the link up on our Facebook page.
I guess.
Oh my god.
Let me pencil in a meeting with her and see if she's available.
Oh my god. See if you can get some time on a calendar.
Yeah. Let me email her right now.
She's probably gonna be tentative. I'm gonna tell you right now. That bitch is always tentative.
Oh really?
Always. Every single time.
We're talking about me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to learning more about The Last of Us. I have yet to be disappointed with any outing that I've had with Naughty Dog, so I'll be surprised if this isn't.
Oh no, I honestly think this is, yes, and that's their thing. Like, they always want to make their games better than any gaming experience that's out there right now. And I've never been disappointed with anything that's come out of their house. I'm just saying that they're like, oh, we don't want to do anything Uncharted 3 related, but already I get the trailer gives me a feeling like there could be elements of it that I'm going to recognize from an Uncharted game.
Well, I think that when you're talking about any dev company that creates a new IP, obviously because you have people who've worked on the previous IP working on this next one, obviously there are going to be some influences that are going to travel over. I mean, there are things that are going to scream Uncharted, and it's just because you know it's from Naughty Dog, but it's a mechanic that's in every action game. Okay, like QuickTime elements. They're not exclusive to Uncharted.
No.
QuickTime elements have been in everything. Okay, starting from, you know, God of War.
Even before
God of War. But God of War, I think, was the game that most of us associate.
I think they did the quick shots to QTEs in, yeah, God of War, where it's like, oh, it's totally wasn't expected that during this cutscene they would want me to pound the X button.
Yeah. You know, and I think that that's a mechanic that many gamers associate and attribute to that franchise. Just like, you know, the FMV with a QuickTime element that you don't actually know is a QuickTime element and you don't know isn't part of the FMV.
Whoops!
Is what we attribute to Uncharted. Like, they do the seamless one well. And so when that happens in this game, everyone's going to think, oh, here's an Uncharted element. When it's not necessarily an Uncharted element, but it is a element that the team does really well because you have the same teams working on it. So I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that they're just rehashing something. At the same time, if you got a mechanic that works, that produces, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know? So as long as I'm not, you know, running around and looking for treasure, it's not an Uncharted game. You know, just like when Uncharted first came out, everyone was like, oh no, it's, you know, Nathan Drake Tomb Raider. And then we got, you know, through the first game and went, oh wait, no it's not. And then the second game out, we went, no seriously, it really isn't. And the third game came out, it was like, no, really motherfuckers, this is not Tomb Raider. You know, so I don't think that it's fair to necessarily say that if there are things that are similar as far as gameplay mechanics, that it's an Uncharted thing as much as it's a Naughty Dog team dev style. You know, because you've got the same devs working on this new IP. But I think that their team is adept enough that there'll be enough new things that they bring that you won't notice the things that are similar from dev stuff that they did in Uncharted.
Okay.
It's just like BioShock.
Mm.
Okay? Really, there's not a lot of difference in the mechanics from BioShock to BioShock 2.
Nope. You're right.
Okay. But it doesn't feel like the same game.
Well, no, because the atmospheres are completely different. The settings are different.
But the mechanics are the same.
Yes.
Okay. And I just think, you know, you look at other things from Irrational, similar mechanics from IPIP, but you don't feel, like, you don't hear people going, oh, it's just the Bioshock thing. It's just the Bioshock thing again. So I think that, you know, you just have to, just like you have to approach some movies suspending your disbelief, I think you have to approach some franchises suspending your disbelief.
Hmm.
Especially when it's a completely new IP. You kind of got to come at it like you've never played anything from that developer before and give it a chance to be unique.
I'll try.
Yeah, you really should. Because otherwise, you're a game snob.
I am.
That's not a good thing.
Don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I've become more snobby about games and all my medias.
Don't be a snob, because
I'm slightly a
then
snob.
I won't be able to stand you.
Well, good thing we're sitting then, huh?
Ah! Oh, I guess your hangover's waning?
Sort of. I'm bouncing back. It's about time. But no.
Move on, next topic!
Oh, you don't have anything else?
No, I'm all done.
Oh.
Because you're a snob, so...
I'm not a snob.
You just said, I'm actually becoming more snobby about my video games and all my medias.
Yes. I said I'm becoming...
Are you going to start reading Vanity Fair?
Ugh. Barf. And I already barfed
Variety?
Once. No.
Snob.
So wait, because I don't read those, they make me snobs?
No, you're a snob.
I'm not a snob.
Yeah,
I said I'm becoming snobby. I'm not full snob yet. So...
This says the hungover chick wearing a fedora.
Your fedora.
So, I know. It is my fedora.
Yeah.
And you didn't even ask.
Nope. Because I always wear it when we record. The last three sessions, totally been wearing your hat.
I wear my green fedora. Fedora. Not Ella. Not Annie. Not Baby. But fedora. Now I usually come to town. Need a better old hand of ground. But I gotta wear green when me and my queen go stepping around. She's fuzzy about color. She's deadly, I think. But if she insists it, not even wear pink. That's why I'm wearing my green fedora. Fedora, fedora, fedora is the girl.
Anyway, so VGAs.
VGAs.
We got to talk
about Video Game Awards. Of course we do, because we have opinions.
And...
Especially this snob over here.
Be quiet. Snobish. Snobish.
Put the hat back on.
No. No.
All right. I'll put it on.
Anyway. So, I mean, a lot of people don't give the VGAs much credit. And I think they got very good reasons for that. They seem a little, I don't know, faded.
All right, let's take a step back, okay? We were all really, really excited.
When we first were getting a video game award show.
Video game award show. Okay.
Like, oh my god, the industry, we're totally getting our own award show, we'll be able to,
it's
like...
It's being recognized as a real thing and not just a hobby that lame people do in their mom's basements.
Some of us do it in our mom's living rooms.
Some of us do it in our mom's living rooms. Some of us do it in
our
own living rooms. Some of us do it in our bedrooms. But it was nice to get the recognition that it wasn't just a fad or a phase. Okay, we were getting a real award show.
But then we found out it
was going to be on Spike. And we went, okay, but that's okay. Because, I mean, you know, being on pay cable, all right, is better than being on basic cable.
Public access.
All right. So at least, we tried to say, hey, it's pay cable at least. So, you know, that's cool. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You know, we all had that moment of, hey, breathe, just breathe. It's going to be cool. All right, because... You know, you start running through the categories, and, you know, categories make sense. You know, best voiceover for male, best voiceover for female. We all went, hey, you know what? We're going to actually recognize the talent behind the games.
Yes.
And not just the dev companies. Okay? It wasn't just going to be a, hey, you people who made millions of dollars, here's, you know, a trophy for making millions of dollars. But we're actually going to get into, you know, cinematics and gameplay mechanics. And
we've got critics and they've got stuff to say, so we're going to give them a job.
Yeah. And we felt good.
We did.
And then the first VGAs aired. And you know, we didn't feel so good after that.
I felt like they were mocking us a bit.
I felt like they didn't know how to be serious. I felt like it was a seventh grade class's interpretation of what an award show should be. Like, we watched enough Emmys. We should know how to do this. And no. Because it just basically turned into a big glorified commercial for games that were getting ready to come out. Not as much actually recognizing
talents.
Right. They did the most superficial categories on TV as far as getting awards, and the stuff that was actually really meaningful to, you know, people like me, like, you know, the writers who created the best story, for instance, got their award off camera. And I was like, that's sucky.
Yeah, because the story kind of makes or breaks the game.
Yeah, no, that's an off-camera award, not an on-camera award. And I was like, really? Really, Spike? Okay, and then they would give away an award, and the script was written really badly, and there was, like, no laughter, and then it was like, and here's a trailer for a game coming out, blah, 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 that everyone was going to be talking about up until E3. And so I thought, okay, well, but this is their first one, right? Right. So, you know,
so they found experience. All their problem spots, yep. They're going to work it out, it's going to be great next year.
It's
going to
be great next year. And then the next one happened, and
No,
some things were addressed, so a couple of the off-screen awards became on-screen awards, but it still was, hey, it's Cliffy B, and don't get me wrong, I love Cliffy B, but, you know, Cliffy B gets a shit ton of accolades, and there are, you know, a lot of people that work on Gears that don't get screen time, and don't get, you know, the award time up front, you know, in center. And should.
Like, this would be the place for them to shine.
Yeah, no.
Cliffy B shines all day, every day.
Every day. He's a sparkly motherfucker.
Like, even when he sleeps, he's glowing.
He is.
In the dark.
In the dark. I mean, he does.
I'm sure his lady friends are like, damn it.
He's gotta sleep with shades on.
Because
he's so sparkly.
Right. And not Twilight sparkly.
Yeah. So, you know, we thought, okay, third year. Spike must have heard us. I mean, hell, there were a lot of independent media that couldn't even go to the VGAs.
Like us.
Yeah. Couldn't get an invite if we gave somebody a sexual favor.
Man, we could give, like, all of them favors and still...
I mean, we wouldn't give them favors.
No!
Because that's not
that's a lot of
girls that we are. But that's even if we did, we still couldn't go. Which is a damn shame. But third year, we're like, hey, alright, look, we've had a really good year. All right, you've had 2 years now to really get this under control.
Fix right? your shit.
Fix
get
your
it
shit.
Right. Get right.
Get it right.
You need to
and
get right right now, Spike All right? TV.
So they put out the list of people who were up for categories. Like best fighting game and, you know, obviously game of the year and best original score, which let's all right now... just for a second, acknowledge that this past year, we've had some games with some amazing, amazing audio. Both that sets the tone, sets an atmosphere, and really played a part in their games. Like L.A. Noire, okay? That game, the score is as much of a character in the game as the actual playable characters. Can we agree?
I will agree to that.
Okay.
I should finish that game.
You should probably finish that.
Fucking arson quests. They suck. So glad I'm not an arson detective.
You know, I mean, the same thing can be said with, you know, Gears. Okay? Even though it's not noticed as much, the music...
It is pretty much like their fifth invisible
yeah.
cog member.
I have to say that, you know, as far as, you know, the games that we're looking at And not just the music pieces, but, you know, their effects as well. I mean, when you're running through Modern Warfare, it definitely is mastered very well. You know, when I have my headphones on and
your Astros?
Yeah, my Astros. When I have those on, I feel like I'm actually immersed in the game, not necessarily a character sitting back outside of it. So audio has definitely, across the board, been kicked up this past year. So we had some really, really fantastic scoring that went on and AD work. And I don't think that that really gets the focus or the accolades it should. So I'm just telling all you audio engineers right now, if any of you are listening,
live your dream.
No. Well, yeah, live your dream. But really and truly, I have been very impressed this year by how much thought, effort, and really focus has been put behind that. Because I've always felt like audio has always been like a second-class citizen when it comes to games. So many people focus on the actual mechanic that, you know, and let's face it, we all point out in a game where we're playing, we're like, it sounds, you know, it plays really good, but, you know, we always make a joke about this being off or that being off, and it usually always comes around like, to,
wait, what happened to the voice acting? I can barely hear it.
Exactly. Or, you know, it's not syncing right, and so there's mouth movement when someone's not speaking, and then,
hi, tongue-tied Ted here.
You know, and it throws, and it throws
off the whole atmosphere.
And so, this year, really, and again, I didn't watch all of the Spike VGAs because my soul just couldn't take it, but I'm pretty sure that the score was an off-camera award.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't.
So,
but, I mean, there was obviously the debacle that blew up Twitter, Facebook, and all the other...
Yeah, why don't you go ahead with that? Because I... Go ahead. Sorry.
So, yeah. So, we all know Batman. And we all know Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill is a pimp.
Period. End.
Yep.
And he has always done fantastic voice work. You know, his signature character role of, you know, the Joker.
Which he's now retired from.
Apparently.
I'm so sad.
When his money runs out, he'll come back.
Oh, he'll be back.
Because he's not camera ready anymore. He's not.
You saying he got a face for radio?
Did you not see him?
Shut up. Stop it. Mark Hamill's a pimp.
But anyway.
Skywalker forever.
So talk about getting royally shafted. So, and so, I mean, and he got shafted not once, but like twice.
All right, roll, break it down for the people.
So, shot number one to the pills, popping pills here. Mark Hamill didn't even get to sit with the nominees. He was put up in the fucking bleachers of the whole.
Okay.
Of the whole thing.
All right, so here's my first problem with this, okay? You invite Mark Hamill, who has played one of the pivotal characters.
Most like one of the iconic roles of nerddom.
Nerddom. Okay? Luke fucking Skywalker. Alright? Seriously. Luke Skywalker. You invite him to your award show. Why would you put Luke fucking Skywalker, let alone the fucking Joker from the best Batman animated series and the two best Batman games ever on the motherfucking planet? Plus, I'm pretty sure he did the Joker's voice in the DC game that had Batman in it. You know, the DC versus... Yeah. I'm pretty sure he did the Joker's voice in that game as well, but I don't like to count that as a good Batman game because it's just not a good game to begin with.
Right.
Let's back out of that. So the voice of the Joker, who is a pivotal, iconic character in all of the DC universe, as far as I'm concerned, thank you very much, you invite this man to
who
your award show.
And decides to go.
And graciously says, yeah, I will show up. And you put the motherfucker in the bleachers?
Yep.
With, basically, and if you were in the bleachers and you're not a super famous person, please don't take this, you know, poorly or wrongly, because it's not meant to be an insult. But you put Mark Hamill up in the bleachers with the riffraff? Like, not even on the floor? Where he can network with other people in the industry?
See, I wonder...
Really?
And you know,
really, Spike?
And then, I mean, granted, I'm kind of spoiling the second shot to the pills.
Shot to the pills!
So shot to pills number two, he was nominated for Best Performance by a Human Male, obviously voice work.
Yep.
And, that wasn't even aired on TV. nor did he win.
And he didn't win it. So you invite the motherfucker to your award show. You sit him in the bleachers. He's thinking he's being invited because he's going to win.
And I'm surprised
he didn't. Clue number one should have been when they put you in the bleachers.
You should have said
you weren't going to win because there's not enough time for you to get down to the stage. So I'm sure that that set in for a moment. But you invite him and you know he's not going to win. Which is another slight. I don't know who the fuck was paying attention because the winner for the category
was Stephen Merchant, who was Wheatley in Portal 2.
Okay, now, don't get me wrong. The Wheatley character was adorable.
Oh my god, hilarious.
Okay? Absolutely loved it. But if I'm picking between the voice of Wheatley and the Joker and, you know, J.K. Simmons, who
was also in Portal 2.
Yep. As Cave Johnson or, you know, Nolan North.
Nah, Nolan North shouldn't have won that.
But
that's okay.
But if I'm picking through all of those,
out of all those characters, who's the one that sticks out in your mind?
The Joker sticks out the most.
Yeah.
Because it is so different. He is so twisted. And Hamill's delivery is fantastic. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Star Wars junkie, but out of all those characters, the first one that really sticks out with me, for the voice, not just the look, but for the voice, is the Joker. And so I'm like, okay.
All right. I feel like if you gave all these characters a line, like if you didn't see them, you didn't know what characters they were for what game, like if they were like doing a screen, like a voice test.
Yeah.
Give them all the same line. I think the joke would be, I'd be like, who's that?
Yeah, that would be the one that would stick out. So I was so not only disappointed from Mark Hamill, especially because he's announced that he's not going to do the Joker anymore. So it really would have been a nice, you know, go out on a recognition of really delivering some fantastic voice work across a bunch of different platforms, but not, you know, just in the video game thing. But I was embarrassed for the gaming community because he was treated really, really shabbily. I mean, seriously. Okay, then... Well,
oh,
go ahead.
So those are the shots to, you know, obviously Mark Hamill's pills. As a side note...
Yep. As an amendment.
So not only was he up in the bleachers, but... At least his lady sidekick was with him. Tara Strong.
Yeah, so Tara Strong, who took over voice work for Harley Quinn in Arkham City, and by the way, also did a fantastic job. It's never easy jumping into
a voice role work that's for already a character that's recognized. Already
been defined. Yeah, that's really been defined by another person. But she really did a fantastic job. I don't want to say mimicking, because she brought a little bit of a different flavor to Harley Quinn than Aline Sorkin, but she really did a fantastic job. Okay, she was up for Best Performance by a Human Female, which is basically the voice work, up against the chick, Emily
Rose,
who was in Elena for Uncharted.
Claudia Black, who was also Uncharted.
Yeah, in Uncharted, which, you know... Here's the thing about Claudia Black being up for that one, all right? Claudia Black was basically just being Claudia Black, which is a bad
thing. If you put all of her characters together, it's the same voice.
It's the same voice. It really is. It's just Claudia Black being
But that's
badass.
The same thing for Nolan North.
That's true. It's very
Nathan
true.
Nathan Drake is really just Nolan North.
Right. It's still badass, though.
Yes.
But, okay, and then Ellen McCain, who does GLaDOS. So Ellen won the category. Now... I'm going to take a step back here.
So wait a minute. Didn't both of the winners from those
are
from Portal 2?
Yes. Yes. Now, people.
Conspiracy?
Not saying conspiracy. Just going to say this. GLaDOS is a very interesting voice. Okay, there's no one who's heard Still Alive who doesn't absolutely just adore it. Just adore it.
Until you play her and then you feel like she's trying to kill you.
And you know she's trying to kill you. She's not, you know.
It's like, I wanted you to jump off that platform. If you had gone up any higher, you would have died. But you told me to stay here. Like, what? Lol, what?
Okay. But I don't think that the GLaDOS character now is any more unique than any of those other characters that were up for the voice work. Okay? And using the thing that you said before, if you gave them all the same line, the two that would stick out for me would absolutely be GLaDOS and Terra. But I think that for me, again, Harley Quinn is just an oddball character. There's no character like it. We've heard computer voice characters before. Okay? And you know, AI gone wrong isn't anything new. But Harley Quinn is unique, and I think to not recognize one really continuing a character after taking over for somebody else's work, and then two, just not really recognizing Arkham City at all,
which is
for its voice work, because let's face it, the mechanics were improved from the first game, but not terribly different.
I feel like the mood, the setting, and the audio is what really brought this
game. Brought it all together. Got no recognition for it. I was like, really, Spike? Really?
It's like, there weren't enough titties for you. Granted, you know, okay. Portal didn't
have
much titties.
And then
either.
The final pills for all of this is also Best Human Female presented off-screen. And it was basically part of a montage. So they basically just put up on the screen while they were on commercial, this category was won by this. This category was won by this.
So literally, they didn't have to come.
No.
They could have watched it from home. Not that they would have. I'm sure they would have watched Two and a Half Men.
That would be more entertaining.
Oh my god, them sitting together watching it and commenting on it as Harley Quinn and the Joker.
I would watch that
TV
series.
Watch that.
I would watch that TV series.
I would watch
that. So Tara and Mark, if you don't have anything going on, if you would just color commentate on comedy, sitcom, television shows for us as a show, we will watch that. And we will review it. It's so shameful. Anyway, I know you have some things that you want.
Yeah, so let's talk about Best Horror since we were talking about audio.
Yeah, again.
Right, and once again, I feel really bad for Batman Arkham City because they were nominated for Best Original Score.
Yep.
And they didn't win that one.
Nope, that went to Bastion.
But there's nothing wrong with Bastion.
No, there isn't anything wrong with Bastion.
And I actually really liked Bastion. If you actually played it, I actually think that they should have been the two real strong contenders for that one.
Yep.
So I don't feel like much of a shaft on that one.
No. But they didn't get it.
They didn't get that. I also want to talk about the independent game, too. So I have to see where that eels.
See,
right
this
here.
Is why, again, you print out your homework.
I should.
Yeah.
Minecraft got Best Independent Game.
Well, duh.
You can create your own world, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
And it should have. I mean, Minecraft is really, really a fantastic game. And it's really very deep for an independent. I do agree that Bastion absolutely should have been up in the running for that. But I'm glad that Minecraft actually won it. I dabbled in the Minecraft.
I couldn't. And I like to create shit, but I'm just like, I've got no vision. I've got no vision for this.
But for me,
I can customize
Minecraft.
Shit, give me a mold, and I'll paint it all wacky colors and make it look crazy. Don't make me have to make it. Because, like, that's a table. It looks like a gazelle. I know, but you're supposed to eat your breakfast on it.
You eat your breakfast on the gazelle?
It was supposed to be a table.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
It was bad.
That's fine.
It was bad. So, obviously, best RPG, hands down. Not too surprised.
Yeah, Skyrim.
Skyrim.
Duh. I mean, I'm sorry, gamer crack.
It's not game.
Yes, it is.
Not,
really?
Anyway.
Really? Really? Okay, let's, people, here's the test of whether or not it's gamer crack. So what was the last game that you played?
Skyrim.
Uh-huh, and how long have you been playing it?
Forever.
Okay, and what level are you?
47.
Uh-huh, and, have you played Arkham City yet?
No.
And have you played Modern Warfare 3 yet?
A little.
Have you played it for more than a half hour?
No.
Okay. But what have you been playing for more than a half hour?
Skyrim.
Okay, game of crack. Moving right along.
Best action adventure game. I actually thought Uncharted was going to take this one. I really thought so. And I'm kind of glad, though, that Batman got something.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. When we talk about best action adventure game, so you had Arkham Asylum that was up for it. You had Assassin's Revelations. You had Skyward Sword that was up. And you had Uncharted 3. First of all, that's a really solid category. Any of those games really
could have won this one and been happy with the decision.
You could have made an argument for it, and I would not have disagreed with you. But I am glad that Arkham City took it, because while Uncharted was a fantastic experience, I would definitely say, as far as like really action adventure-y wise, I had much more fun running through Arkham City than Uncharted.
Really?
Yeah, like, because you had the ability to play as Catwoman and do her little side missions separate and had a different story, I replayed Arkham City more than I've replayed Uncharted 3.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't gotten into the multiplayer on Uncharted 3 because somebody was supposed to play with me, but they've been playing Skyrim.
I wonder who that could have been.
I'm not going to name any names. I'm just going to say.
Does it rhyme with Master Delicious?
It rhymes with Master Delicious.
Ah, shit.
So, then you have Best Shooter. So here's the thing about this one. Personally, I agree with the choice that was made. So you had Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 that was up. You had Battlefield 3 that was up. You had Gears of War 3 that was up. And you had Rage. All fantastic games. All fantastic shooters. Everyone thought that Gears was just going to walk away with this one. To be honest with you,
I think it should have been Skyrim. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
To be honest, if Gears had won it, I wouldn't have cried. But frankly, as far as like being a straight shooter, because for me, I think of Gears more as an action shooter than a shooter. It made more sense that Modern Warfare 3.
Well, when I think shooters, I think first person.
And I think like that's most people.
But I'm just saying, where I mean, obviously Gears had certain elements where you were kind of in a first-person perspective, but you weren't always in that.
Yeah, it's an action shooter.
Yeah, because you're seeing everything else around you.
Yeah, I would put Gears more towards the bucket that Uncharted is in than the bucket that Modern Warfare is in.
I would completely agree with that.
All right. So, multiplayer. Why don't you talk about this one?
Yeah. So, winner was Portal 2. I actually didn't play any of the multiplayer stuff, which was one of the elements that I was actually looking forward to in my Portal 2 scenario.
Well, who was up for multiplayer?
Because Portal 2. Yep, which won it. Then there was Battlefield 3, there was Gears of War 3, and Modern Warfare 3. Lots of 3s, except for Portal, yeah. Obviously. And I'm not mad at Portal 2, because all the other games already had elements of multiplayer in them. Portal didn't. You were on your own in the Portal universe. Yeah, you had to figure out your puzzles on your own.
This release was the first release that they had an actual real multiplayer. And the fact that you could do cross-platform multiplayer, I think, is the thing that killed it. Which is why Portal 2 made sense.
So I'm not upset with that choice. But I mean, personally, where I didn't play it, and I did play a lot of Gears multiplayer. Yep. I mean, they did so many new things.
With me, but with people.
Well, I played Horde.
We were going to play Horde so I could get some achievements for Horde. And then what happened?
I
played Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Please continue.
Anyway, so from personal experience, I would have liked to have seen it be a game that I've actually played multiplayer for. But I can't be upset because, like I said, the other games already had elements of it. And this is a game that didn't have it at all. And they're like, we're going to make this work. And they did.
And they did. And they did it really well. So
yeah, exactly.
No faults there.
Absolutely none. So
we got to get to the good ones. So let's talk about Game of the Year.
Yeah. No, I think Game of the Year should be our last one. We should talk about each of the best games for the consoles. All right. So let's start with the one that we don't do a lot of PC gaming. So let's talk about
that. Because I don't really have a PC that's really set up for gaming.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It was Portal 2. That won it. So it was up against Battlefield 3, Minecraft, and The Witcher 2. Wow. I didn't play The Witcher.
Here's the thing. I'm glad that The Witcher got some recognition. Because Witcher 2 is... So here's my thing, right? The Witcher is a very interesting game. And I don't think other than the people that really enjoy the platform, that people become aware of it unless it's up for some kind of award or accolades. So I was really glad to see that it got nominated, because Witcher 2 is really a fantastic game. If you have a PC, you really should, first of all, play The Witcher, and then play Witcher 2. You really, 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 really should.
I'm very surprised Skyrim was not put on this.
I'm not. It was up for the big, big one.
But so many people are playing Skyrim on PC.
Yeah, but so
most people are so snobbish about their Elder Scrolls that they refuse to play it on consoles because it was originally on a PC.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. But really, really, the stuff with the entire franchise blew up when it went to consoles. Even though your purists love it on the PC, only want to play it on the PC, really it became mainstream successful when it went to console. So it doesn't surprise me that it wasn't up for PC.
Okay. I am a little bit. I was a little surprised that it wasn't.
I'm glad that Portal won.
I wouldn't have wanted Skyrim to win it in PC, yeah, but
be nominated.
I would have wanted to be nominated for that.
I'm kind of surprised that Minecraft actually
I'm beginning to see a big trend of, you know, them pushing Portal 2.
No, really? Surprised.
Yeah, like a...
Keep moving.
All right, so another one that we're not really vested in, knew that was going to happen.
All right, so first of all, let's talk about Best Wii Games. The nominees were The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, Disney's Epic Mickey, you had...
Kirby's Return to Dream Land.
Yep.
And Lost in Shadow.
Okay, ready? The last game I've never even heard of.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, love Kirby games. Epic Mickey was a fantastic...
I loved Epic Mickey.
I know, you didn't finish it.
No, but I loved it.
Yeah, okay, but obviously we're talking about best game on a Nintendo platform. Of course, if there's an existing Zelda
or Mario
Mario game, it's going to win it. So that's not a surprise.
But...
It's fucking Zelda.
No, not even that.
But it's fucking Zelda.
I haven't played Skyward Sword.
Neither have I.
But I've got four friends who have played it multiple times since its release.
My Wii is still in the box.
But they patch up some plot holes.
Eventually I'll get there, but I still have to finish Assassin's Creed and get through Rage.
You have to open Rage.
Right. And then I have to open my Wii and reset it back up. Right?
Yeah. But yeah, Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword.
Boom!
Not too surprised
PS3
with that
game.
One. We're going PS3 next. What do you think?
Who are the nominees? Batman.
Nominees are, or were, because this happened in the past. Uncharted 3.
Duh.
Infamous 2.
Duh.
Killzone 2.
Duh.
And Little Big Planet 2.
Woo! Alright, I love Little Big Planet.
I didn't get the second one. I played the fuck out of the first one,
yeah,
though.
The first one I was, like, all over, like, stink on shit. I did not get the second one. Again, I didn't turn my PS3 back on until Uncharted 3. But I do want to play Little Big Planet 2. But the winner
of all these,
yep,
was Uncharted 3.
Not a surprise!
Not really.
Nope. No objections.
And I honestly think the only reason why that happened was that was the game people were waiting patiently for.
It's a killer app.
I mean, I honestly think...
I have not purchased Infamous 2.
If Uncharted 3 did not get released, I actually think Infamous 2 would have won it.
Yeah, probably would have.
Would have.
All right, next one.
Xbox 360.
Okay.
Nominees were Batman Arkham City, Forza Motorsport 4, Gears of War 3, and Portal 2. And you know what my issue with this is?
All right, first say who won.
All right, well, Batman Arkham City won it.
Yep.
Here's my issue.
Yep.
I think for the specialized categories and consoles, they should be exclusive titles only.
I would agree with you completely.
And they weren't. The only one out of all of these that was exclusive to the Xbox was Gears.
I thought Forza was exclusive to Xbox.
Was it?
I don't think Forza's on the PS3.
All right, then 2.
You have to check.
I don't drive... I hardly drive in real life if I
could
avoid it. So
I think you have to
games?
Check, but I think Forza is a...
All right, so then 2 of the 4, but still.
Yeah,
specialized
titles. I think it's like Gran Turismo. I think it's just exclusive to the platform. But yeah, Portal 2 and Arkham City were not exclusive.
We're not exclusive titles, and I don't...
But I'm glad that Arkham City won.
See, if they were going to do something like that, I think they should have had a category for best cross-platform.
Yeah.
for games that are on all the consoles.
Yeah.
But I don't like when they mix them like that.
Yeah, I thought Gears was actually, I thought that was like a hands down.
I thought it was going to be because it was exclusive.
Yeah.
But apparently we're wrong. But Batman, Arkham City, good game.
Yeah, great game.
Great game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say nay.
And so, they probably gave it to him because they weren't going to get Game of the Year.
Probably not. So, like, let's give him something.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Hamill did come.
So Mark Hamill's actually up in the bleachers, so.
He's not going to come down for when they accept the award, but he's here.
He's here.
Studio of the Year. Nominees were Bethesda.
Really?
Duh. Naughty Dog.
Duh.
Rocksteady.
Duh.
And Valve.
Duh.
And who won that? Bethesda.
Surprise. Not.
Not really. Rage and Skyrim in the same...
Yeah, I know.
In the same year.
Making money.
Making money.
Do it up, Bethesda!
I love your games.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, every dev that's listed there is a fantastic dev, and they released an amazing game
this I'm surprised year. Epic wasn't put in there.
Here's the thing. Epic knows they're epic. They don't need a stupid VGA award to know they're epic. It's in the name of their company. Continue! Game of the Year!
Last but not least, Game of the Year.
Yep.
Nominees were Skyrim, Batman Arkham City, Legend of Zelda, and Portal 2. Oh, wait, and! So this one had 5.
Yep.
Uncharted 3. So not surprised, the top hits from each console, PC also here,
yep,
were nominated here. Kind of like the fact that all around, they represented all of them. Winner was Skyrim. Now, believe it or not, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah?
I don't.
Here's the thing.
Skyrim was just recently released. It hasn't been out long enough. And I mean, some of these games have already... Well, actually, neither was Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda just recently came out.
Yep. And here's my problem with it. Where's Gears?
Gears is not there.
Gears is not there. And frankly...
Where's Modern Warfare? Not there.
Not there. Okay? And frankly, when I'm thinking of Game of the Year, right now my top runners... Gears of War 3 is there. Modern Warfare 3 is there. Uncharted 3 is there. And right now, those are my three leaders. And only one of them is on that list.
Only one.
And frankly, only two of those games has been out for any considerable
amount of time to even be put in the consideration for the nomination.
Complete bullshit. I cry shenanigans. Because frankly... In my mind, it should have been either Gears of War 3 or Uncharted 3 as Game of the Year, frankly, when it comes down to it.
And it's really funny because I really enjoy Skyrim. Like, I love Skyrim.
You are on the Skyrim crack.
I am. Like, if it was a poll, I would be dancing on it.
You would be working it right now and not doing this podcast.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And even I have to go, I don't know. I don't know if I would call it Game of the Year. Mm. Like, I really don't. I mean... They could have easily waited until 2012 to drop it, and then that would have made sense to me.
Yeah.
If this game had come out in 2012 for it to win 2012, that would make sense to me.
Yep.
But it hasn't been out long enough for full digestion, and I don't think it should have won that.
Nope. Nope. I agree. I agree completely. So those are our opinions. We'd love to hear yours. You can share what you think on our Facebook page. Who knows, maybe our community manager will put out a question that you can answer and we'll take kind of...
Oh god, Mass Effect 3 is totally going to win 2012.
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 should...
It's going to win.
It should pretty much...
Projections.
It should wipe every category. And who knows? Maybe next year we'll do our own award show. We'll just, you know...
Well, I did it with the B3 guys when we did the best of.
Yeah, I know you did your best of, but I'm thinking just for an ESH just... We will take the same categories that Spike does, and we'll do our own version.
Can we dress up for it?
Sure, why not?
Yay!
Why not? But you can tell us what you think.
Fedoras and boas for everyone!
You know, who got slighted in your mind, and who didn't. And we'll compare notes, and maybe we'll regroup again on this lovely topic really soon. But, you know, maybe next year they'll get it right. Right? Hey, at least there's GDC. Huh?
Yeah.
There's GDC. So.
And Mario Van Peebles.
Oh my god.
Mega 64. Okay. I want to have your babies.
Oh my god. Okay, so moving right along. If you want to learn more, like we said, we've got some trailers that we're going to include, some links and references to some of the stuff that we've talked about on the podcast post, which you can find on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.co. That is esh.co. The short address will bounce into the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments go to our mailbag at mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available for iTunes. Go plug us in and find us.
That's right. You can visit the iTunes Music Store or Zune Marketplace. Search for Electric Sisterhood in the beautiful little boxes and click the subscribe buttons when they appear next to our little podcast to ensure that you get our episodes the moment that we put them out on the interwebs for your consumption. But if you don't want to subscribe to our podcast, well, there are other ways you can get it.
So you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should look for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only entity that makes up the Land of Esh. Oh, no, no, no. We put out new podcast episodes on Mondays, but you can follow that up with an episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which comes out on Tuesdays, and then Feeding Your Nerd Needs on Wednesday are the Geek Aggro podcast that's hosted by our homeboy Deuces Wild. Then for the rest of the week, we got your nerd needs covered on our respective websites, which you can find all of that content conveniently located on the ESH portal, which is landofesh.com. You can also purchase an issue of our print magazine, which is pretty kick-ass and awesome and highly recommended. Makes a great stocking stuffer, just saying. You can get it in print or in PDF format as you like. There's all the stuff that we talk about on our Twitter accounts, and if you want to check out the entire Land of Esh crew, which I highly recommend, simply visit my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. They're all there. They're all hysterical in their own right. I absolutely recommend you follow them. And like I said, we've got a Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh, where you can interact with us, ask us questions. Sometimes Pandalicious is actually there, and she interacts, but most of us will answer any question that you ask us. You might not like the answer, but we'll answer it, so make sure that you hit us up there. And we're, you know, we're on Flickr, we got pictures, we're
hot to trot.
We are. Pretty much, we are all in your internet, stealing your bandwidths. So, with that shit you're digging this week, Panda.
Five and Dime Comics. It's a web series, it's out there, it's hilarious. Give it a look.
Well, I'm going to stay on the webcomic tip because I have been reading the ish out of Hyperbole and a Half. I absolutely love it. It cracks me up during the day. Makes me laugh so hard I almost pee. So Hyperbole and a Half, theblogspot.com. You should definitely check that out. It's hilariousness. So as always, I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here.
Bye! You.